Proverbs 28:1, our text that we've been using for the last several weeks, says this. The wicked, somebody say the wicked. The wicked flee when no one pursues them. But the uncompromisingly righteous are bold. Y'all got that? Bold as a. Amen. Well, you may be seated. You may be seated. This is going to be our fifth sermon in a series that we have been entitled Intentional Boldness. And we said intentional is when you do something on purpose, for a purpose, with purpose. In other words, you got attitude when you're doing it. When we do things intentionally, it's not an accident. Amen? Boldness, on the other hand, just a short definition I want you to hold on to, is the willingness to act with courage or confidence. And I said we live in a time when fear is promoted more than faith, where timidness is often mistaken for humility, and when many Christians or people of God are shrinking back when they should be standing up. Amen. See, the world needs Christians who will not compromise the truth of God's word. Christians who will refuse to yield or betray their commitment to God, even under pressure, even under threat, and even when we are even being tempted. Amen. Being bold as a lion does not mean that we act reckless or arrogantly or proudly with an oversized ego, but we act righteously bold, obeying God when the cost is high, because we know who we belong to and we know who we are in Him. Amen? Now, last week we saw Peter and John's boldness, their bold response to the threats of the religious leaders who warned them not to preach or teach no more in the name of Jesus. I mean, y'all can go out there and do anything you want, but you just can't say that name. Can't do anything in His authority. And then we saw Peter and John, along with the other believers, in a spontaneous prayer meeting where they prayed that God would give them great boldness in preaching the word in spite of the severe threats that was against them. And we closed by looking at Stephen's life and saw how Stephen defended the gospel before the religious leaders. And as a result of his boldness, he was stoned to death. And even in his dying, he asked God to not hold that sin against them, teaching us a powerful lesson of how important it is for us to forgive folk. Ain't nobody hit you with a stone. They just talked about you. They lied on you. You got to be able to forgive that. They didn't send you a Christmas card last year. Forgot your birthday. You got to be able to forgive. Man, if you can forgive someone while they're killing you, surely we can forgive folks who just do what is considered minor things. Even when I was in the world, we used to say talk is cheap. You know, words would never hurt me like that. I know words are powerful, but man, it shouldn't make you go into a rage that you want to hurt somebody because something they said about you. You got to be able to forgive folk because God forgave us. Amen? Amen. So today, now look at this. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 9 with Saul because he was the main Pharisees that urged the people on when they stoned Stephen on last week. Y'all remember that? And after Stephen's death, you know, the believers had been kind of hanging around in Jerusalem because it was after Pentecost. And the church was starting to grow and there was this new religion was on the move. But after Stephen's death, the persecution picked up. So the people started to scatter. And that was what Jesus had predicted, that they were going to start in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So he knew that they were supposed to scatter because that's how the gospel was going to get spread. But as a result of that, this Paul, man, Saul at the time, he hated the gospel and hated believers so bad that he was in a rage and fury and got a letter to go and chase them down, you know, and he could bring them back bound to Jerusalem. And his hatred was so strong that on his way to Damascus, he had an encounter with Jesus. Some of y'all know his story on Damascus Road. You know, he's riding on the donkey, the light shined down, knock him off the donkey, and he looked up and said, Lord, you know, is it you, Lord? What would you have me to do? And right there, that encounter changed his life forever. Now, while Jesus was changing his life on Damascus Road, he was also dealing with Ananias. So when Paul got to Damascus, then Ananias would be there to receive him. But Ananias had already heard about this dude. His reputation preceded him because, you know, he's a bad dude. He out killing folk, rounding them up. And now, God, you want me to go and talk to him? I need some assurance. So look at this. And what we're going to see here is this encounter between Paul and Ananias. And what we're going to learn in here is that it took boldness for Ananias to go and talk to this bad dude. And at the same time, we're going to see that after Paul's heart changed, that he's going to boldly now preach the very gospel that he was trying to tear down. You know, change is powerful. Transformation is powerful. You know, if you done been changed and been transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's a powerful move. And if you have been changed, somebody ought to know the change has a... It should be no secret in the closet change. It should be a change that people know. Brother Wilson's mind, his mind has been transformed. He no longer think and act like he used to. And this is what's happening with Paul. God's going to change his heart. But now he got to convince Ananias that the guy's okay. So look at this. I'm going to pick up in verse 15 of Acts chapter 9. It says, now, but the Lord said, talking to Ananias, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument. What? This dude is on his way to kill us. And now you're telling me he's your chosen. You know, God got a funny way of using folk. And sometimes he can use folk with a bad reputation. He said, this is my, in other words, I have called him out, given him assignment, and made him special for that assignment. And I'm going to use him to my glory, even though his past is all jacked up. He said, he is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. In other words, he's going to do it, but he's going to go through some things. Amen. And sometimes when you make that change and you transform your life, you may go through some things because of the change you made, especially if you really, truly trying to represent the Lord. Now, you could be a changed person and don't let nobody know you're changed. You'll be okay. But when you change and you start telling people about the change and who changed your life, there may be some opposition. But that's okay. You expect that in warfare. Amen. So therefore, now look, he says, so in verse 7, he says, so Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, brother Saul. You know, that's a change in his heart too. Now this dude is trying to kill us, but now God done got me calling him. You know, that's why in the church we call each other brothers and sisters sometimes. So if I call you brother, that means, you know, we got something in common. We connected to the same Father. So therefore, we don't take that lightly when someone calls you brother or sister in the church. That's really, you ought to be honored when we call each other brothers and sisters. Amen. So he said, now, brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me also that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, isn't that amazing that Paul was a religious guy who knew the Old Testament law, but obviously he had not been filled with the Spirit of God. So you can come to church and know the Bible, but it don't necessarily mean that you've allowed God's Spirit to fill you till you be empowered to do what he wants you to do. So sitting in church don't automatically mean that you've been filled with his Spirit. Now, to get saved, you got to have his Spirit, but to be filled is talking about being empowered to do something that God is calling you to do. And what I'm trying to tell you, all of you all want to be filled with his Spirit. So he's been filled with my Spirit, and he's got an assignment to do. He says, instantly, verse 18, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was... My God, that was a religious guy. But now he needs to be baptized in a way to identify with Jesus Christ. Because his assignment is finna change. He finna go from being a Pharisee who's trying to kill folk to a disciple and a follower of Jesus who would become an apostle that's going to spread his word all over the world in that region. And so therefore, yeah, believers, we ought to be baptized. Amen. Amen. If you're a child of God, you ought to be baptized. Every other organization bring you in with some type of initiation into the family. In the church, we baptize you into the body of. Let me move on. I won't meddle right there. Verse 19 say, after he had ate some food to regain his strength, because he had been fasting for 3 days, and so therefore he was blinded for 3 days, now he can see, and look what he started to do. Now look at this. Verse 20 says, Saul stayed with the believers. Somebody say believers. You're going to see that we're believers throughout this lesson today, because before they were called Christians, they were normally referred to as believers. And sometimes they was called people of the way. And so what I'm trying to tell you is that we use Christians now, but believer is just as good. So I just need to know my way to heaven. Is there any believers in the house today? I mean, are y'all believers? Because in a minute, I'm going to ask you, are you a true believer? Because you know, that may be some imposters that believe it, but I want to know, are you a true believer? Because it's important that you believe something. And you ought to be able to know what you believe in, and then you ought to be able to defend the hope that you believe. So the question remains, are there any believers in this house today? He said, so Saul stayed with believers in Damascus for a few days, and immediately he began preaching about who? When you go to church on Sunday, if they don't never talk about Jesus, you may be in the wrong place. Jesus is the star of the Sunday service. He get top billing. His name is bigger than everybody else's name. And so therefore, when we come to church and we minimize him and we talk about ourselves, all the things we're doing, and never talk about him, then maybe we're not true believers. So he immediately began preaching about who? In the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. Now let me pause right there, because that's got an exclamation point, so he must have said it with emphasis. He is the Son of God. Now the believers that you are, I have to ask you, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that, or are you just kind of mimicking it because it's in the Bible? I'm talking about, do you really believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Or he is just another character out there who we look up to like any other famous leader. But do you believe that he is the Son of God? Y'all saying it kind of weak there. I don't hear no boldness in that at all. I mean, because you got to believe that. If you don't believe that, somebody talk that out of you, and then you'll start believing in other things. You got to believe that he is the Son of God. In my Bible, he says, he is the Son of God, exclamation point. In English, they taught me when you see an exclamation point, he's the Son of God. No. An exclamation point means you say it with emphasis. So when you talk about Jesus, there ought to be some change in your tone and your tenor. Your volume ought to go up every now and then when you say he is the Son of God. No little God, but the Almighty. Yeah, I know some of y'all did that. That's just not my nature. You lying. It's in your nature. You can shout if you want to. You can raise your voice. You raise it for other things. I just want you to raise it to say he is the Son of God. Amen. That sounds better right there. Y'all about ready to make me preach right there. But let me read on these notes. Now look. He said, now verse 20, he said, all who heard this were amazed. What did they hear? He's the Son of God. All who heard this were amazed. He said, isn't this the same man who caused such devastation among Jesus' followers in Jerusalem? Isn't that dude that was running around killing folk, putting folk in jail? Something happened to him. Now he over here talking about Jesus being the Son of God. And look here, didn't he come here to arrest them and take them in chains to the leading priest? Well, yeah, that was his assignment when he left. But something happened to him. between the time he left Jerusalem until the time he got there, that change took place. So my question to you now, let's talk about Paul, but let's talk about you. When did your change take place? When did you have your Damascus Road experience? When you was traveling in one direction and God knocked you off your little donkey, and then all of a sudden now you saw the light and know who he is, and you start walking in another direction. In other words, that when you change your life, your friends don't believe you done changed because they remember the old you. And now you used to be killing and cheating and stealing, and you know what we used to do, the old you. When you was out there in the world, you know what you used to do, the old you. And you go back home now and say, that guy's dead. I had an encounter with Jesus on Damascus Road. I am a new creation now in him. And then some of your friends will say, I don't believe it. I know Wayne a long time. I know how Wayne used to be. We used to run them streets together. I know we did in them streets. And now you talk about Wayne, talk about he know Jesus is the Son of man, somebody ought to know you done changed. If all your old friends see you as the same place, you have not had your Damascus Road experience. You just the same you with a new title. But something got to change on the. I know y'all don't want to hear that today. You know, I tell you, I come here to teach this Bible to you. I don't come to entertain you or anything like that. I come for you to get a nugget today that you can take away from this lesson and do something with. So this is the same guy, they asked. Didn't he come here to arrest them and to take them in chains to the leading priests? Saul's preaching became more and more powerful. Good God Almighty. And the Jews in Damascus couldn't refute him. In other words, they couldn't prove what he was saying was wrong. His proof, now they couldn't refute his proof that Jesus was the the Savior of the world. Son of God, Savior of the world. You got to believe those two things about him. And you got to be able to argue that with folk who don't believe that if they come at you. You ain't supposed to shrink back when someone come and challenge you about who Jesus is. You ought to be able to boldly stand up like a lion and roar, he is the Son of and the Savior of the world. Time out for being these little wimp, mealy-mouthed Christians, man. That's why the world done got all jacked up, because Christians done stopped saying what the Bible. Oh, God, I know it. See that, look what it is. I'm glad we're going to kill the day like in America, like they did over there, because look at this, what it say, Wayne, verse 23, say, after a while, some of the Jews plotted together to kill him. Now, these were the same folk that was champions for him when he was on their side. But now they look at him like he's a turncoat, Wayne. He done jumped on the other side. So guess what? Now he come here arguing against us and tearing down everything we believe in and talking about this Jesus is the Savior of the world and the Son of God. Then look here. We need to. You know, religious folk would kill you over their religion. I mean, religious. It is religious folks who strap bombs on themselves in the name of something. Some of the things we did back in the crusade was in the name of religious. I'm getting in trouble right there. I can feel a little tension coming right there, but that's okay. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. Religious folk. I say people who don't know the Bible, but they know religion. And they can get caught up in their religion and defend something that go against the Bible. Let me move on down to verse 26 in the same chapter, because the disciples decided to help him escape. Some believed that after that, Saul went over to Arabia and spent some time there learning more and more about Jesus. Because, you know, his name get changed to Saul. He writes two-thirds of the New Testament, you know, the books that he wrote, the letters. So God really changed this dude's heart. And so what happened was, once they changed his heart, now he want to come back to where he started from. I want to go home, Brother JP. Let me go back to Jerusalem, where I came from. But I'm going back a changed man. I'm not the same guy I was when I left. Now I want to go and find this other group of folk that I was trying to kill on my way out, now I want to come back and raise my hands. Hey, guys, I'm one of y'all. Something happened to me. I want to. Finley goes, I ain't believing that. I know the old dude that had the letter. Now he's coming back talking about he one of us. We need some evidence. So they didn't believe him, so he had to have Barnabas to vouch for him. You know how sometimes you go in a hood and, you know, don't nobody know you, and you need somebody to vouch for you so you can make it through that all right? Because people say, we don't trust you. You come from the other side of town. But because you with Barnabas, we're going to let you come on in, and we're going to have a conversation with you. Every now and then, you may have to vouch for somebody. Somebody may have to vouch for you because folks just don't believe who you are. And somebody else got to tell them, hey, he really did change. He ain't the same dude he used to be. So look at this. That's where we find ourselves in verse 26. He says, when Saul arrived in Jerusalem, he tried to meet with the, somebody say believers, the believers, but they were all afraid of him. They did not believe he had truly become a believer. Some people don't truly believe you become one. Some of your friends ain't convinced. Mm-hmm. I ain't talking to all y'all, just one or two of y'all in here. Some of y'all friends don't believe. They know y'all come to church on Sunday, but they don't believe you no true believer. You just religious. You go to church every Sunday. But that don't make you a true. I know it's going to get quiet right there. That's why I was looking down. I ain't want to look at that. I ain't want to see look on some of y'all face when I said that. But I was looking down. I knew it was going to get quiet right there. But see, if you're a true believer, you shouldn't be offended by nothing I just said. Because you know who you are. And by me reading these scriptures, don't faze you at all because you ain't talking about me. I'm a true. I ain't here no imposter. I ain't no make-believe. I ain't no pretender. I'm a look at this. They didn't believe Paul, though, so look what he said. Then Barnabas brought him to the apostles and told them how Saul had seen the Lord on the way to Damascus, talk about his experience, and how the Lord had spoken to Saul. He also told them that Saul had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. So because they liked Barnabas and Barnabas was a credible witness, then now Paul get accepted in the group. You know, sometimes you just got to have somebody to vouch for you. Your reputation's so bad, ain't nobody going to believe you. You were notorious when you was out there. So some of y'all going to need to take Pastor Baldwin with you when you go home. Say, I'm here as a witness. That they've been a member of Striving for 10 years. They done changed. Their life done changed. This ain't the same person you left when they left here. I can give testimony. They come to church every Sunday. They come to Bible study. They are doing great things for the Lord. Because somebody may not believe your testimony. If you were the notorious liar when you left, they ain't going to believe you when you go home. Anthony, don't get me off track, man. But the Bible said he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus in Damascus. In other words, that name, one name, Jesus. Boldly he preached in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with the apostles and went all around Jerusalem with them, preaching boldly in the name of the good God Almighty. And came home, now he preaching boldly in the very city that he left. And he left there a murderer, and he come back now preaching the gospel. You know, some of y'all left home one way, and then now you go back home preaching the gospel. You may not have been a murderer, but you could have been a whole lot of other things when you left home. Yeah. Don't get holy on me right now, because you wasn't born holy, and you didn't leave home. Most of y'all didn't leave home holy. Come on, let's be real for a moment. I mean, if I just did, I'm going to give 10% of y'all the benefit of the doubt that y'all left home holy. Y'all was okay when you left home. Most of us left home jacked up. We left home, we were jacked. We were just glad to get out of high school and get away from here. And we were just going to do, we were going to do us after we left home. And some of y'all went out there and did y'all for about 10, 15 years. then now you go home, folk want to know, are you? See, as long as I'm talking about Paul, y'all sitting, go on, Pastor, preach that word. But when we make it fit you, your attitude change. Now look at this, what he says here in verse 29. Paul was so powerful, man, he preaching that word so boldly. The Bible said, Wayne, he debated with some of the Greek-speaking Jews. In other words, you got to debate. You got to have some serious discussion with folks about Jesus. Amen. And you got to be willing to listen to some opposing arguments. I don't mind folks coming to me trying to convince me of who they serve, who they worship. We can have that discussion. I ain't going to run away from you because I know who I believe in. I can defend him. I don't care who you bring to the table. Let's have this open discussion. Let's see, is your God greater than my God? Let's have that. I'm not going to run away from that. I ain't going to run away from Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he's the Savior of the world. I believe that he was born of a virgin. Look here, he died for our sins on the cross, was raised 3 days later. I believe that about him. So therefore, when someone come to me with something other than that, I got to be able to defend what I believe. Some of y'all want to debate everything else. Why don't you debate this Bible with somebody? I want to debate the latest news and the things in the news. Let's debate the bill that the president just signed. Was it good or was it bad? Who cares? Do you know the Lord? Then whatever he signed is going to be all right with you. God going to cover you. Let's talk about Jesus and see what he tell us to do when the bill gets signed. So he debated with some Greeks. And you know, I come in here on Sunday in my debate mode because I know some of y'all hard-hearted. Some of y'all mind made up on some things. I come here to have a debate, baby. I want to make sure that you all understand that, hey, Jesus is it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No way to the Father but by him. I come to debate that. I don't want nobody to be absent in their mind and thinking that, oh, Pastor Bone is confused about who Jesus is. Now, baby, I come to defend the hope that I believe in. Not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, Lord, let me go on. I wasn't supposed to sound radical. I know on radio you're going to say, what the practical? Y'all pastors got radical over there. What's wrong with him? He just done got bold in the Lord. Acts chapter 14. You know, after they decide they're going to kill Paul for, you know, preaching Jesus. Then in Acts chapter 14, we're going to see where Paul and Barnabas now team up. Because in Acts chapter 13, they were all in this place called Antioch. And they had leaders in the church, and Paul and Barnabas was leaders in the church. And then the Holy Spirit came and said, separate me, these two. And they were sent out on what we call Paul's missionary journeys, where he started traveling now to spread this gospel like God had told him he was going to do. He was going to carry this gospel to Jews, to Gentiles, and to all the places of the world. So now him and Barnabas is on this missionary journey. And as they travel, we're going to see that they have to boldly defend what they believe in, even in the face of opposition. Because wherever they went, we're going to see this pattern that some people will believe and some people won't. It's still that way today. There's some people going to believe this word, and there's going to be some people who won't. But you can't run away from the ones who won't. You still got to stand on what you believe. In the midst of their opposition, in the midst of their doubt, in the midst of them not believing, you can't give up your belief. So look at this in Acts chapter 14. This is a part of the country that if you look at a map, we call all this modern day Turkey, you know. But back then this place called Iconium. And look at this, say, the same thing happened in Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went to the Jewish synagogue and preached with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. Man, you know, when you preach with power like that, you got to have a persuasive argument. You got to be able to persuade people that hear this word that they need Jesus. Not just from the pulpit, but when you're talking to people out there in them streets and you witnessing the people, you're going to have to be able to persuade some people to believe what you are saying. So I mean, you can't go with some weak, timid argument. You got to be ready to sit down and have that discussion with people till you can convince them or till you get to the point where the Spirit says, okay, you've done your part. You've at least sown the word in their heart. Now, if they don't receive it, it's on them, but you've done your part. But there will be some people that will believe your testimony and what you have to say about this word. So what you can't do, you can't shrink back and not share the truth of the gospel based upon where you are in your relationship with the Lord. So they preach with such power that a great number of both Jews and Greeks became believers. You are here today because you are a believer. Amen. And so now as a believer, you have a responsibility to go out and look for other and find people. If they're not believers, then guess what? You are to do your best to present Jesus to them in a way that they will want to become a believer. But if you leave here and just listen to me talk and remember a cliche here and a click there or something and don't go and talk about Jesus when you leave here, then you're not fulfilling your responsibility as a believer. You're trying to tell someone, hey, Jesus died for you while you was all jacked up. You ain't got to try to figure this thing out. He loved you in spite of you. Oh, Lord, let me move on. Let's look at verse 2, because it says, some of the Jews, however, spurned God's message and poisoned the minds of the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. Now look at this. People's minds can be poison. You know, a lot of people that you know, minds are being poisoned out there on that internet. You know, if you got the internet on your phone, now stuff just start coming up. Once you look at one site, you start getting 15 other sites that start popping up on your phone. You don't even know where it comes from. And then all of a sudden you say, oh, that's an interesting topic. Let me read that. And then sooner or later, you start reading somebody. You don't even know who you're reading and what they believe. You just read them and read them. And now they'll say, click to subscribe. You know, click to subscribe so you can get their weekly posts or their daily posts. And you ain't did no investigation on who you read. And don't realize if you're not careful, your minds could be. If I'm going to poison your mind, it's going to be with this right here. I want to poison your mind with this. That's why we open this up and read. This is the poison I wanted to get up here, come out of here. Because once you start believing this, you can change the world. So there are people out there today whose minds are being poisoned by things that has nothing to do with God's word, but they're spiritual. People's minds are being poisoned. I don't know a lot about crystals, but I know you don't need them to know Jesus. I don't know a lot about sage, but I know you don't have to burn that to make your house holy. Your house holy because you in there. You the sage. You the smoke. You the sweet smelling aroma that's supposed to be going up. Now, y'all don't win the bout. Y'all say, I'm going to go around and make my house. Nah, baby. It's in me. You make your house holy. Because people's minds are being poisoned. And they don't realize it because sometimes, you know, the poison tastes kind of good at first. But it's still poison. Eventually, it's going to kill you. And it don't take but, you know, somebody said, you know, 90% of what they say is good. Yeah. 90% of rat poison is good, too. It's only that 10% of strychnine that's in there that's going to kill you. can take the strychnine out. You could eat it, just starch and some other stuff. Is that temporary? I'm just trying to help your mind so your mind don't get poisoned. And then when your mind get poisoned, you get turned against other people. That's why y'all got to stop watching all these news channels. I don't care if you're CNN, MSNBC, or Fox, whichever one you watch, they're going to poison your mind. If you want to watch the news where you live at. Look at your local news and see how many folks getting killed or what's good is happening in your town. Ah, Lord, I know I was going to feel it right there. But look at this, what he said, verse 3. But the apostles stayed there a long time, preaching boldly about the grace of the Lord. In other words, talking about how good God is and how much favor he has showed us by allowing Jesus to die for us while we were still sinners. God's grace, they was letting people know, hey, look, you ain't got to try to clean yourself up. The work has already been done. Jesus died for you. All you got to do is accept him, come to him, and then let the Spirit help clean you up. You've been trying to clean you for years. It ain't working. You just need to let something happen on the inside of you that can help you clean up the outside of you. And it starts with the transformation of your mind. You got to change the way you think. Look at this. They preached about the grace of the Lord, and the Lord proved their message was true by giving them the power to do miraculous signs and wonders. Now look at this. But the people of the town were divided in their opinion about them. Some sided with the Jews, some sided with them. I believe because all y'all in here today, y'all on the apostle side. Amen. On the side of Jesus. Amen. I hate for you to be here, you ain't on Jesus' side. If you ain't on Jesus' side, you're here to become to his side. Because we're on Jesus' side. Amen. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
We're on Jesus' side. We're going to side with him. Whatever he say, that's what we're going to go with. We're on his side. I mean, make no mistake about it. We're on Jesus. Don't walk out of here and say, I ain't sure whose side you on. No, wait a minute. No, I'm on. You know, when I was in the hood, little boy, I was one of the better football players in there. And we used to have to pick teams. And, you know, certain people wanted to be on my side. Because normally the team that I was on, because we were pretty good, we used to win. So it wasn't hard to want to be on the winning side. And I read the book. And the Bible let me know I'm on the winning side. Yeah, that's a good place to praise it right there. I'm on the winning side. So, baby, I ain't let bring the opposition on because I know how the story ends. In the end, I win this thing. I'm on the winning. I don't have a problem. I got to play the game because there got to be another team that I got to beat. But I'm on the oh, Lord, have mercy. Now look at this. When you get people who don't agree with you, if they violent, they're gonna turn to a mob. Look at this, verse 5. Then a mob of Gentiles and Jews, along with their leaders, decided to attack and stone them. When the apostles learned of it, they fled to the region of Lycaonia, in the towns of Lystra and Derbe, and the surrounding area. And look what they did when they got there. And there, somebody say there, they preached the good news. They got ran out of one town. And didn't dishearten me? Then, man, I ain't going to never preach again because striving just ain't going to listen. Nothing I got to say. Y'all shut up and don't listen. I'm going to go somewhere else and tell the story. I mean, I ain't going to get disheartened because some people walked away from Jesus. I got a story to tell, baby, and I'm going to talk about him and tell the world about him, whether you believe it or not. I just hope you got sense enough to believe the truth of God's word. Like I told you, you didn't come here to be entertained. You came here to be taught something. Amen. And I know sometimes chemistry and algebra and trigonometry and all that stuff ain't fun. But it's necessary. So, coming in here, Pastor, open his Bible up and read these verses. It ain't fun. Yeah, I wish I'd get back to there and sing some more. We'll let him sing here in a minute, the end, but you get some learning right now. And there, they did what? Not just the news, but the and the good news is the gospel of Jesus. So they went there preaching the good news. It didn't stop there. I'm going to close with Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul and Silas boldly preached Christ in Thessalonica. Some of y'all may say Thessalonica, Thessalonica. And their bold preaching there produced such an impact that they were accused of having turned the world upside down with the gospel. And then the believers there were accused of going contrary to the decree of Caesar's. Look at this. Let me read this, because what they say that they were doing and causing people to think and say is powerful. Y'all got to get this. I'm in Acts chapter 17, verse 1. It says, now when they had passed through Apollonius and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, a local church of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was. Can I pause right there and put your name right there? What is your custom when it comes to the worship and praise and magnifying God? What is your custom? It was his custom that on the Sabbath day, he was going to go to where the church folk hang out. Amen. That was his. So is it your custom? See, we don't worship on Saturday, which is the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday. God ain't got no problem either day. But if this is your custom, then whenever this day show up, you ought to be in compliance with your. I know some of y'all didn't want to hear that, because y'all had made this y'all. If this is your custom, you look forward to this day. Amen. Tomorrow is Sunday, and I know what I'm doing because it's my custom to get up and go to church and learn something about God and then reverence and respect him the rest of the day. Today is supposed to be his day, because it's your. But now we have become accustomed to shopping on his. And so we'll leave here and go catch a sale all the way in Pensacola. They got something on sale over there. I got to get over there and get it. This is the last day of the sale. No, you should have went yesterday. Today is the Lord's. And it ought to be your custom to reverence and respect him on his. I'm just trying to find out what your custom is. Because if you're going to go to Pensacola, I submit to you that your custom is shopping. Brother Ronnie, can I be with you a little bit? If you're going to be on the links at 1 o'clock, then I submit to you that your custom may be. But you're here first, so I ain't got no problem with you getting some rest and relaxation. But you shouldn't get no tea time at 10 o'clock, because it's my custom. I'm going to be in church at 10, not on the first hole. Brother Herb, this is my custom after church, not during the church. I just want to know, what is your custom? What are you accustomed to doing on Sunday? Because Paul said it was his custom, whenever the Sabbath came around, he was in the synagogue. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm getting in a lot of trouble today. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths, he reasoned with them from the scriptures. He went and talked to them about this Bible, talked about the Old Testament scripture, talked about the prophets. He reasoned with them from the word that they had at the time, because they didn't have all the New Testament, but they had knowledge of the old. So he reasoned with them from the scriptures, not from CNN or Fox News. He reasoned with them from the, not from your talk show host, but he reasoned with them from the, when you go to church, the pastor ought to reason with you from this Bible. I'm getting old now, so I have to point and reason. But I'm still reading what the Bible. It don't take no study to come up here and reason with y'all about the news. All I got to do is wake up 30 minutes before I get here and look at CNN. But to reason with y'all from this word, I got to be ready for every opposition that's going to come. Because look, he said, I love that thing. Man, I probably could have made a sermon right out. It was his custom. His custom. He did that for 3 Sundays. And he reasoned with them from the scripture. Look what he was doing. Explaining and demonstrating. Sometimes you go to church, the pastor got to explain this Bible to you. And then give you an example of how it works and how God does things. And he said he explained and demonstrated that Christ, that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead on what day? Y'all better say it like y'all know that. That's a fundamental truth. On the third day. Even though it don't say it right there, because you done read it so many other places, you know that you can just insert, he got up on the third day. Not the fourth day, not the fifth day, not the first day, but he got up on the He was reasoning with the people, demonstrating, telling them all those things about Christ. And then he said, now look, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. He is the anointed one. The one I preach to you. Not about me, but all about him. Now look at verse 4. These new believers come on board. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women. Wow. The Bible went out of its way to say that was some leading women. Prominent women. They had a little something. Not a few. So if it's not a few, that means it was quite a many of them. Ladies, that's a good place for y'all to clap. So ain't nothing wrong with you owning your little own business. And now you ought to have your little business, your little shingle. You got a business because you are a prominent woman in the Lord. See, we've been brainwashed so long to keep y'all second class citizens. So now when the Bible says you got the potential to be a prominent. A prominent woman that believe in Jesus. Glory be to God. That's a good combination. Amen. Now, I ain't here for no women's lib movement, nothing like that. I'm just telling the Bible say they were prominent women. I'm just agreeing with the Bible. So, brother, I ain't got no problem with a woman owning a business and running her company, being the CEO. She just ain't the CEO of the house, though. And she got a husband. I got to throw that in there because I want to make sure that this is what the book say. Let me go. I'm almost done. I'm through mailing. So now guess what? The Bible says not a few of the leading women, they join Paul and. So people started to believe this word. And whenever people start to believe this gospel, it becomes a threat to those who don't believe it. Now look at this. But the Jews, verse 5. Who were not persuaded, became envious or jealous, and took some evil men from the marketplace. That's kind of like in the hood talk. You know, back in the day before we got saved and before we got jobs, you could go down and hang on the corner in the hood. You know, on the corner, y'all remember them days in the hood, where you go down there and shoot a little dice, play a little card, gamble. Just, you ain't doing nothing all day. Just waiting time. Just waiting on somebody to give you a bad assignment to go and mug somebody. You just, down the hood, just rolling dice. You know, y'all ought to be out working, but you down in the hood, just hanging out on the avenue, hanging out on the block, just drinking a little cheap wine. You know, in the hood. Some of y'all don't know about that. That's how we did it. You know, at that time, wine was a 25 cent a bottle. So you go get you a bottle of Red Dagger and just hang around in the hood. Wait for somebody to come and say, hey, I got an assignment for you. Go over there and do this. These people just waiting on somebody to give them an assignment to go and do some evil. Some of y'all ain't wasn't born in the hood, though. So some of y'all can't identify with the hood. So that's okay. I ain't got no problem. Right? We didn't have access to gated communities when I was coming up. We had railroad tracks that you had to cross. You had to cross the railroad track, baby. You didn't come into no gate. You came across them railroad. And when you crossed them tracks, you knew you was in the. And I'm all done. Look at this. He says, but the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring out the people. In other words, they were looking for Paul in the game. Then it said, verse 6, but when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these, talking about Paul and Silas, who have turned the world upside down, have come here too. They done been to all these other little cities, talking about this guy named Jesus, and they done showed up in our city now talking about that same Jesus, and they got some of these folks believing them. They done turned our city upside down with that name of Jesus. Turned the place upside. Man, every now and then the church ought to be able to just turn something upside down. All because we stand on the truth of Jesus. We stand on the gospel. We stand on what he taught, what he believed. Just turn the world upside. Upside down. And look at this. I like the verse 7, and I'm done. It says, look, Jason has harbored them. Talking about he held on to Paul and Silas. And these are all acting contrary to the decree of Caesar. What were they doing contrary to the decree of Caesar? Saying, Brother Wilson, that that is another? Oh my God, y'all better get that. Wilson done heard the word that Paul and Silas preached, and then now Wilson done start standing up and say, in the name of everything. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He is the Savior of the world. In the name of Jesus. They saying now Wilson is saying Jesus is higher than. Jesus is higher than the Trumpster. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Or the Biden, or the Clinton, or the Obama, or the whoever is in the house, Jesus is. We stand on the name of Jesus and don't make no difference who in the White House. We know who's in the heavenly house. We know who the King of Kings is. We know who the Lord of Lords is, and his name is Jesus. Y'all just got through singing, he's mine. We just said, y'all been singing, he's another king. These folks started believing that he was their king, and they started testifying about it, and people say, oh, they coming against Caesar. Now, we just to clarify who is the king of. You got to make him the king. You got to make him your king. You got to see him as being your. I told Marcus to play this little song, and I'm done. The Mississippi Mass Choir made a song, and it's an old kind of old twang to it, but it got a powerful little message. And for a choir in this day and time to make a song that can be this bold and in your face, it takes nerve, bone, because music industry is about selling records. And sometimes, in order to sell more records, you kind of got to skirt the line.
You can't clearly say who's who. You got to keep it so neutral that people assume you're talking about Jesus, but you can't say his name. Because once you say his name, that means your record sales may go down because they're going people be offended by the. So we don't call his name. We just say, you know, there's one that I love and they love me back. Well, you could be singing a love song to your girlfriend. We want to know who you're talking about in your music. So when y'all start listening to all these folk music out there, every now and then, see where they mention a star. If they singing all this gospel and they never mention a star in their music, then chances are they just be making melodies to you and not singing to you the gospel. And they made this. This is an old school song. Y'all stand to your feet. We're going to play this, and I'm going to say, get a Benedict. We're getting out of here. Play this, Mom. Listen to the word.
Anybody want to have church? Come on, clap your hands right there.
Well, step here.
Come on, I need you to have some church. Come on, clap your hands.
Listen to the message. Make that song, it takes boldness. To be bold enough to say, because the prevailing knowledge now is there's many trails that lead to God. And that sounds better than there's only. I just need to know what you believe. And I ain't got no problem if you walk out of here believing that there's many trails that lead up the top of the mountain. But all I'm going to ask you, I don't care which trail you're on, do that trail go through? If it bypasses Jesus, you may be on the wrong. every head bow and every eye closed.